Hello again, and welcome back to the Isle of Wight Show with me, Joe Redstone. It's the last of my interviews with members of the Isle of Wight Island Games team today, and I have saved the overall team manager for last. This is Martin Goodall, and he is sort of stepping down from his role with the Island Games. I'm sure, as he mentions, I'm sure he'll still be involved in some way or another, but Martin has been a very key figure in the games for a long time now, and he has, you know, some remarkable stories to tell, and so I hope you enjoy this interview with Martin Goodall. So, I'm here today with Martin, who is the chairman of Team Isle of Wight. Hello, Martin. How are you doing today?
Oh, yeah, good. Thank you very much.
First of all, thank you very much for your time. Very much appreciate that. So, could you begin by giving us a little bit of background about you? You competed in the games a little while ago now, but tell us a little bit about that, how you did, what event it was, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so way back in the day, I competed in the 1993 Island Games, which were held here on the Isle of Wight. And I was in track and field athletics, took part in the triple jump and was successful in gaining a silver medal there. And then later in the week, opportunity came up, a bit at last minute really, to do the high jump. And I managed to get a bronze medal there. So two events, two medals, and started the Silver Bronze Club, of which I was... I keep welcoming people in, those who are unfortunate enough not quite to get the gold. But I really enjoyed the games experience, and then I stopped competing, but got involved in sports management for golf on the island, and came back to the Island Games through that in 2007 as the team manager for the golf team.
And how did that golf team do?
Yeah, we did pretty well. I started out looking at the way the team was picked, and we organised a selection system for a number of competitions to try and get the best four golfers there that we could. The result of that was we started winning medals, and in the 2011 games here on the island, we had individual silver, team silver, and we're very close to a team bronze as well in that, so we had a really good team. But by picking the best people and getting the best people to the games, we got the best possible result.
I'm sensing a thread there from our conversation off mic as well about getting the best athletes involved, but we'll come back to that in a second. And so how did you move from looking after the golf team to actually being the chairman of the team as a whole?
Well, the then chairman, Dave Ball, was coming to the time where he felt he'd given it all he could over the years that he'd been in charge, and was looking around for a replacement, and Muggins here put his hand up. So, I was selected from a grand cast of one, but it was something I felt, I've been a sportsman all my life. The first competitive thing I ever did was in primary school, and I've loved sport ever since. And I've always wanted to give something back, and this was my way, I think, of giving something back and providing an opportunity for young people to experience an international sporting event in a setting that they just wouldn't have otherwise. If the Island Games didn't exist, people wouldn't get that opportunity to compete on an international stage from the Isle of Wight.
And that point that you're making about the size of the games, I think, is a really important one. As someone who's spent most of their life living on the island, I'm familiar with the games, but it's been for me this thing that, you know, sort of exists slightly in the background. And from watching the coverage from Gibraltar over the last week or so, the thing that has taken me most by surprise is the scale of the events. It's bigger than I thought, and perhaps bigger than most people think. Is that fair to say?
It is. People think of an Island Games, and they might think a little bit of a school sports day or something. But we've got at this Games there were about 2,200 competitors. The next Games in Guernsey will have more than that. We'll be closer to 3,000 competitors. If you think a Winter Olympics has around 2,500, 2,600. That starts to put in perspective just how many people are there and competing. And that's going to be across 14 different sports. And for those all to be competing at the same time on an island and representing that island, it's a big logistical issue for the host island. It's a logistical nightmare for some of the islands trying to get there, and to take our best possible team. You know, it is a huge event, and you walk into that opening ceremony, and if you haven't seen it, have a look at. There is a video on our YouTube channel, and you get an idea of the scale of what it's like to walk in with 2,000 other people to an opening ceremony, and then to have a week's very tough competition to try and find your champions that week.
That was definitely another part of it that took me by surprise. So one of the things that I remember seeing was, if we take just a little bit at random, but the squash team. So there's the individual competition, and then there's various team competitions. And because the games is 6 days?
6 days, yeah.
So those guys were competing basically every day.
On all 6 days, yeah.
And
not just one game of squash. Sometimes there were two games. I think rarely a third game, but that did happen. And so, yeah, it is a tough week. It's a tough week on the body. You're used to maybe playing squash, for example, once a week, twice a week, maybe. So to ask you to play 6 times or maybe 12 times in the course of a week, if you're going to play, and there were singles, there were doubles, competitions, both gender and mixed, and then the team competition at the end of the week, which is 5 members from each island play off against each other, and whoever wins 3 wins the match. That's a tough ask for a lot of people, and by the end, yeah, people were definitely tiring. But again, in that sport, it's great because we hadn't had squash in the games. Each island might not have the ability to host all of the sports.
So just to jump in there, a really obvious one, you were in Gibraltar, there was no football this time.
They've only got one pitch. So it makes it very difficult to host a 16-man or 16-team male tournament, 16-team female tournament on one pitch. You simply can't do it. Yeah. So, yes, there was no football. That's just down to the logistics on an island, and it might not be the last games where there's no football. In the next games, there's going to be no volleyball, which is a big loss to some of the Scandinavian islands who go because they love their volleyball. So each games will have its different flavours and its different things. So squash hadn't been in since 2013. Just because the islands don't have the facilities to host it. And at this Games, they were able to host doubles on proper doubles courts because they were able to move. They built this new fabulous squash centre with movable walls so that they make the court bigger. So each Games is different in its dynamics, its sports. And that gives it all a different... Everyone has a different flavour.
Talk to us a little bit about the facilities in Gibraltar. From what I was seeing on the as you said, there's videos on the YouTube channel and all the pictures on Facebook, etc. The facilities look pretty good out there to me.
They were really good. Some of the facilities were they were due to be built, but the Gibraltar government accelerated the building program in order to get them ready for the games. Gibraltar stepped in after two other islands had said they were going to host the games and then had pulled out. So they didn't have, normally an island would have 5 years preparation to host the games. Gibraltar only had 3 years, and they stepped in at the last minute essentially. And it was either that or there wasn't going to be a games this year. So it was great that they stepped in. They were due to build all these facilities, as I say, but they brought forward their building program. So the athletics track, the swimming pool, were not fully finished, but they were finished enough to hold the event. The new shooting ranges that they put in were going to be built anyway, but not until the end of this year. But again, they were state-of-the-art facilities with all digital targets and all the rest of it. So there were lots of facilities that were built. They had trouble with some of the open air sports, the cycling and the triathlon, simply because it's such a small island. They had to, you know, they're going to close roads in order for those events to take place safely. They almost shut the whole peninsula down. It was a massive effort. But the people of Gibraltar were absolutely awesome, very friendly, exceptionally pro having the games there. Nobody, you know, not a bad word seemed to be seemed to be said by anybody we met. They were all just so delighted to have so many people there enjoying their rock. Yeah. And showing off their new facilities. It was brilliant.
And moving on to the games itself, how did the Ireland team do?
Brilliantly, I think. That sums it up in a word. It's a tough and it's a long week. This games we had 34 medals. At the last games we had 26, so we exceeded the total number of medals. This time we had 11 gold medals, and the last time, other than the games which were held here on the Isle of Wight, when we're always going to have absolutely every event filled with all of our best people, the last time we had 11 gold medals was 2001. So this is our best performance in terms of medals for quite some time. But under that, there was one morning, I think it was the Tuesday morning, we had four or five fourth places in a row, and they were like, oh, it was so close. And it wasn't through lack of trying, lack of effort. You know, people were still getting personal bests and finishing fourth or fifth. But in sport, that's what happens sometimes. You know, I can remember when I was competing, doing a personal best and finishing fourth. I can remember doing a not particularly great performance and winning. It's just, you just can't help it. On some days, that just happens. But the fact that they were performing at their best, they were getting the results in most cases and coming away with medals and with just sheer enjoyment of sport itself, that to me is a very successful Games for the Isle of Wight.
Excellent. And I'm going to ask you a really unfair question now that you're going to hate me for. Can you single out a couple of performances that have really stuck with you from Gibraltar?
Yeah,
I know we're being very unfair to all the people that you don't mention.
You're now asking me to pick my favourite child, which is a bit of a nightmare. There are a couple that stand out, and they stand out for completely different reasons. It was great to see someone like Abby Lacey win medals in the pool. She puts a lot of effort into her swimming, and her brother is also an exceptional good swimmer who can't come to the games. He has Down's syndrome, and he swims for Great Britain Down's syndrome swimming team, so in his own, but we don't have disability sport in the games, unfortunately. But it was great to see her, and the look on her face, and the swimming team as a whole really gelled together for that week. So that's one of the highlights. To see somebody come back from a defeat and win a gold medal the following day was quite good. Dan in judo. And judo, again, hasn't been in the games for quite some time. Big Dan, biggest guy in the judo competition, had his weight category event one day, had missed out on the medals on that day, came back the following day to the open competition, so he's competing against the same people who'd beaten him the day before, and wins gold. That, I'm afraid, brings a tear to my eye, even though he's a much larger bloke than me, and I'm not exactly small. And then on the final day, I think Charlie's win in the half marathon, she became the first Isle of Wight woman to win of the half marathon at the games, but the way she did it as well, so controlled through her race. She was there having, again, this is somebody who's come back. She finished fourth in the games 2 years ago. She's there, she gets one chance at the half marathon. It's not like the swimmers who will swim six, seven times during the course of the week. She's there all week, it's the last day of the games, and she's got to pull a performance out,
Just quickly interrupt, sorry to interrupt you there, but I spoke to Charlie the other day, and she was a little bit hesitant to give me details of the race, but can you describe what Charlie did in that race? Because what I've heard is that it was a pretty extraordinary performance.
It was hot and it was humid, as you'd possibly expect. The course was a three-lap course, which was basically a long drag hill up to a turning point and come back to where they'd started from and do that three times and then run back into the stadium. And we had people all around the course feeding back to us by text message and Twitter and all sorts of things over where people were. And she just sat in with the leading group and was comfortable sitting there in the leading group. In fact, she said to us afterwards she was a bit bored because the pace was a little bit slow. But she was there for a medal. She was there to do something. She didn't want to overstretch herself too early. And in fact, the Guernsey girl who entered the stadium in second didn't finish the race because she 400 metres from the line, they were meant to do a full lap of the track, and she just couldn't go on. She was so exhausted from the heat and the humidity. But yeah, she sat with the lead group till about a mile to go and then unleashed everything that she had and won by about 22, 23 seconds. So it's just an awesome performance from someone who, yeah, she's 42. She probably won't like me for saying that, but
I did ask her that question.
It is the fact. and the people she was running against are probably, yeah, much younger. So it was a brilliant performance. But all of, you know, you look all around, you know, it was great to see Amelie, the youngest person in the Games from the Isle of Wight team, coming away with two bronze medals. It was, you know, all of those people who won medals were brilliant, but as I said, underneath that, there was just some great performances, people who came fourth and fifth. It wasn't for the lack of trying, and the commitment I saw, the camaraderie I saw throughout the whole week really made it worthwhile for all the effort over the last 2 years of getting them there. And now we've got to do it all again.
That's where the fun starts. But could you just expand on that a little bit? Because obviously, in this sort of situation, it's easy for us to sit here and talk about, you know, Charlie and some of the other medal winners and things like that. But it's a bit of a cliche to say, but it is true to say that it's not just about the medals. There's a lot of other stuff. There's a lot of other good reasons for getting involved in the Ireland Games, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I do it for the love of sport. I'm a rare person in that I've competed in a number of different sports. I've represented an island team or won a medal here on the island in sort of five or six different sports. So I sort of cut across a lot of sporting stuff, and I understand a lot of sports. And the reason that we do this is to give people a sporting opportunity that they wouldn't otherwise have. But I think if you're involved in sport, you have to learn a dedication, you have to learn a commitment to whatever it is you're trying to do. And those are skills that you will then take on with you. Because if you learn that as a young person, that if I dedicate myself to something and I'm committed and I give of my all and I get a reward, then you'll learn to do that in your working life and in your home life later on. That, you know, I've heard it said that there is a truth in sport, that you get out what you put in. And I think if you accept that in life, if I'm going to get out what I put in, you'll put in that bit more because you're prepared to give your time. And it's not just the athletes who do that, it's their coaches as well, because a lot of the coaches, people think coaches are funded or whatever, and some are, but the vast majority of coaches who have helped all these people get to where they are not funded by anybody. They do it because they just love their sport and their activity, and they love to be associated with the results that the people get from the work that they've done. If over the time that I've been doing this for the, you know, since 2011 when I first came on board in the Central Ireland Games Committee, we've helped somebody achieve their goals, then I'm proud of what I've done, and I think I can move on now and see wherever the next stage of my life takes me and my sporting life takes me. Having been very proud of what we've achieved.
Yeah, and rightly so. Now, you are about to step down as chairman once you've sort of wrapped up a few loose ends. So this might be a slightly unfair question to ask you now, but what about moving forward? So the next game's 2 years' time in Guernsey.
Yeah.
What would you like to see next time round? And I don't mean that in a, you know, in a sort of critical sense. It's just, we've done so well this time, but if we were to do even better in Guernsey next time, what would that look like?
It's always hard to call it. The automatic one is to say, well, it'd be great to get more medals. I don't know if that's actually true. What I'd like to see, this time we got medals in six different sports. I'd like to see seven or eight sports getting medals, whatever colour they might be. That's kind of it's not irrelevant, but it's not as important as the fact that the buzz that those people in that sport get by somebody in their team being successful and seeing them stand on the rostrum, because that then gives them the thought that I could do that one day. So it's about inspiring people, and that's what the games are about in terms of sport. It's inspiring people that if you try hard and if you can see that person, I know because I've trained alongside them, is stood on that rostrum, that gives me the motivation to want to try and do that myself. So I think success will be, yeah, I would like to see more sports winning medals. I'm still going to be involved in the games because we've now set ourselves as a charity, and I'm a trustee of that charity, so I'm still going to be involved and be around in trying to help people get to the games. But somebody else can have all the operational headaches, please. So yeah, I still want to see that, and I'd love to see somebody from one of the sports who were there this time who didn't get a medal, for one of them to get one and to start to come to the fore. Because I think if we win medals at games, that will inspire other people within the team, that might inspire more people to get involved in that particular sport, and so people can then be, you know, sport itself grows by people being inspired to want to do it, and I that would be my hope going forward.
Excellent. And for anyone listening who is perhaps in the position that I was in, you know, sort of 6 or 7 months ago, kind of vaguely aware of the Ireland Games, but not quite sure how to maybe get involved, what would you suggest for that? What can residents of the Isle of Wight, what can we contribute, what can we help with?
Support your teams. We're all out there. If you know someone who's been to the Games, they'll tell you how great it is. If you follow our social media feeds, wherever they might be, and we're across as many platforms as we can think of now. But have a look and see what that Games is, and if that inspires you to want to support your team, your Isle of Wight team, representing the Isle of Wight in this international sporting event, then do so in whatever way, shape or form you can help us. And it's not just about money, it can be about things, it can be about time. If people can give their time to help us at a fundraising event, or can give have access to a venue that we could have for a fundraising event, or could in some way, you know, donate something we could raffle off or something like that, you know, all of these things will help the team to get there. And I'd like us to take the best possible team to Guernsey, and then to Orkney beyond that, and all the other games that will be coming up. And if you can't do any of that, if you're thinking of a holiday destination in 2021, why not spend a week in Guernsey supporting your team? Come out there, wave a flag, because it means so much. We had a lot of people there this time, most of whom knew people who were taking part. But Guernsey's infinitely closer. You could come for a couple of days, see what it's like for yourself, and be inspired by the people of the island doing their absolute best.
That's amazing. As I mentioned just now, my involvement with the Island Games is, it's been a lot more recent than yours has, that's for sure. But what has been very clear to me as I've spoken to other people and seen what's going on is the amount of hard work and dedication that a lot of people put in, but kind of particularly you, Martin. So just to finish up, just from everyone I know who's involved with the Games, just thanks for everything you've done. It's really appreciated. And we'll see you in Guernsey in a couple of years' time.
Looking forward to it.
Well, that brings us to the end of my series of interviews with members of the Isle of Wight Island Games team. I hope you've enjoyed that. If you are interested in the team and what they're up to, then do please check out their website, which is teamiow.org.uk. They also have a very active Facebook page, which is facebook.com/teamiow. And there's a YouTube channel and an Instagram page as well. So plenty of places where you can find out what they're up to. The next Games is a couple of years away, and that will be in Guernsey. So there'll be lots going on in the meantime. So do please stay in touch with the team. And, you know, you never know. You might be able to do something to help them out along the way.
Thanks very much for listening. The Isle of Wight Show will be back soon. I've got a few ideas for the next mini-series, but I will keep you informed and let you know once that is finalised. As always, thanks very much for listening. Really appreciate that. See you again next time.